Welcome back to House of Bravo, where we break down Bravo shows and personalities from a cosmic perspective. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader. Each week, we'll uncover the underlying energies shaping the drama both on screen and off, from current astro weather and events to deep dives into Bravo Liberty's energetics. This is your one-stop shop podcast to get your Bravo fix while learning to decode the language of the stars.
Hi, friends. We are back with our regularly scheduled programming, and we will be breaking down all the shows from this week. I hope this sounds okay. I have a little bit of a different setup today. I had to pick my dog up from the groomer, and he does not want to leave my side, so I have to leave the door open for him. Otherwise, he'll start whining. Eclipse season has officially commenced and shit is crazy, which is to be expected. Eclipses are a time of reckoning, reshuffling. It's this very Uranus. It's this very Uranian energy of you don't know what the fuck is going to happen. Some things that we have seen, or I should say that I've seen, that kind of are wild. Number one, we have some news that Kate Middleton has cancer. Now, from an energetics standpoint, what's kind of interesting about that, I mean, there's nothing interesting really about cancer, but there is a particular human design practitioner that I follow. Her name is Vanessa Henry, and she had cancer when she was a child. Because of that, one of the things that she does is kind of track illness, specifically cancers, but also other illnesses as well, in relation to where you have openness or where you are not defined in your human design body graph. Now, what we know about Kate is that she went in for, well, I should say what we know about her based on what we've been told, because we are now very aware that Buckingham Palace, or whoever you want to say is in charge of the royal information that comes out, are not forthcoming necessarily what's going on behind the golden gates of the royal family. But if we're going to assume that Kate has stomach cancer, which I'm making that assumption based off the fact we know she had abdominal surgery. That's what we've been told. So when we look at Kate Middleton's human design body graph, she has three centers open: the ego center, the identity center, and her solar plexus. And when we look at which body parts are associated with each of these centers, the stomach is actually associated with the heart center. It's also in relation to how we assert ourselves. So I do think it's interesting that this kind of just fits in with that theory of Vanessa's, that our sicknesses tend to manifest in our openness, and especially it comes from being out of alignment. Now, I don't follow the royals. I don't really know anything about Kate Middleton. I can't speak to kind of historically where she might have been out of alignment, but just thought this was interesting. And since we did have a human design episode, I just wanted to throw that little tidbit in there. Also, from eclipse season, we have the news of Diddy's homes being raided. He's potentially involved with sex trafficking. He hopped on a plane, left his children at his houses being raided. And he was like, see ya, I'm out of here, and headed to a place where he can't be sent back to the U.S. if he is deemed guilty. Now, just running itself seems very guilty. And we do not know Diddy's time of birth, but of course there are still some things that we can still deduct based on his chart. So when we look at his chart, he's got his Sun, Mercury, and Neptune all in Scorpio. Scorpio is a sign associated with, kind of the darker things. It's also associated, it's like a very sexual sign. Scorpio rules the genitalia. So Scorpio is very, it's deep, it's sexual. It can be in a really hot, sexy way, but it can also be in a terrifying, control sex kind of way. His Mars is trining his Pluto. His Mars is in Capricorn at 29 degrees, Capricorn being about control, being about authority. And when that is in a trine, this kind of easy flow of energy, this open door of energy with Pluto in Virgo, very controlling, very particular, very exacting about things. That Pluto Mars flow of energy, especially in those earth signs, can be very intense. It can be very, yeah. Now, that's not to say that it's going to play out in the way that it has with Diddy, but just talking to what I see in the chart. Now, when we pull up the transits, first of all, that Mars of Diddy's at 29 degrees Capricorn is currently and has been getting hit by Pluto as it has transitioned from Capricorn into Aquarius, retrograded back into Capricorn, comes back into Aquarius. So Pluto has kind of been doing a dance on top of his Mars, and it will continue to be there. Pluto's a slow moving planet. We still have one more hit of Pluto going back into Capricorn before it stations direct in Aquarius and will no longer be moving back into the sign of Capricorn. So he's going to get another direct hit when Pluto once again retrogrades back into 29 degrees Capricorn. I haven't run the numbers to see exactly what date that hits, but it will be interesting to see, like, let's say he actually is convicted or goes to trial, if that 29 degrees of Pluto being back into Capricorn aligns with that timing. Venus currently is traveling through Pisces. We also have Saturn in close relation to that and Neptune as well. So here we have values, authority, restriction, structure, a haze, a cloudiness, all in the sign of Pisces, Pisces being creative, but Pisces also being that sign of deception, that sign of delusion, that sign of not really knowing what's going on. Those are hitting his North Node. So something is definitely happening in his chart, but who's to say one way or the other? And like, okay, let's just say he is guilty. This doesn't mean that he's going to be reprimanded for what he has done, but he's certainly going through it. That's for sure. The next eclipse that's going to be coming up is going to be in opposition. So the eclipse on, the total eclipse, I should say, on April 8th is going to be in opposition to his Jupiter, which is conjunct his Venus in Libra. Libra, the sign of justice. Libra, the sign of balance, harmony, things kind of rebalancing themselves. So that's another date to watch out for in relation to Diddy. We're keeping on top of that story as it continues to unfold. We had in other news, but still eclipse related, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore collapsed after getting hit by some sort of water vehicle. Now, I didn't run the charts for this, but Camille Gray did. She was on the Beyonce episode, Camille Michelle Gray, or Millie Michelle on Instagram. She had a whole breakdown in her stories. I wish she saved it, but I just pulled up her account and she did not. So that's unfortunate. But she did a great breakdown. There were a lot of transits that were hitting. Yeah, we still have a few more weeks of eclipse season. Let's see what else comes to light in this time. Now, speaking of things coming to light during eclipse season, we had the final episode of Real Housewives of Potomac. And then we also had the announcements that first we heard Candace is not going to be returning. Then we got the news that Robin is not going to be returning. My initial reaction was, I don't trust rumors that come out during Mercury retrograde. We're like in, well, we're in the shadow of Mercury retrograde. Then add eclipse season to that. you know, I would generally wouldn't trust news that comes out during this time, but this seems pretty, it seems pretty definitive. I can't say that I'm going to miss either of them on the show because, and I think I've said this many times before, I love Candace, but she's just gotten to this point. Her energy is just so over this. She really gives Mary Cosby vibes, which is cool if like you're just looking for those one-liners, that funny little underhanded comments and confessionals. But if you want someone that's going to actually interact with the group and be part of the housewives and the show and what it's about, she's not really here to play anymore. I could see Candace using this as a time definitely to focus on her music, as she said. Also, maybe getting pregnant in the next 2 years. Candace is currently going through her nodal return in Aries, which is falling in her sixth house. This is a time for her to rethink her day-to-day. What is she committing herself to? What direction is she going to be moving forward in? And there's an emphasis on herself being in Aries, but also releasing unhealthy relationships, putting boundaries in place to respect her peace, with the South Node falling in Libra in her 12th house. I didn't talk about this last week because we had the Human Design episode, but we had Candace and Chris talking about having babies. Currently, Saturn is in Candace's fifth house, falling in Pisces. That's where Saturn is transiting through right now. The fifth house represents creation, so it definitely makes sense that she's stepping back from the show to focus on creating music, trying to solidify her music career. But the fifth house also represents children, because children are also a creation. Now, I don't think many people associate Saturn in the fifth as a baby-making placement. Saturn's generally restriction and structure and boundaries. However, in Candace's case, I feel like it could be representative of her committing to wanting children. We've seen her kind of go back and forth. She wasn't sure. She didn't want to be a mother. Then maybe I want to be a mother. I could see Saturn in Pisces being about her committing to, yes, I want to be a mother. Pisces is about not seeing things clearly, as we've said. So maybe Saturn being there could be kind of a reality check that like, okay, this is what I want. And I need to take time and dedicate myself to this. Also spanning both last week and this week's episodes, we have all the women dressing up as an icon for this magazine. And I ran all of the ladies' charts with their respective icon, hoping to find some like really fun parallels. I didn't look at the charts too deeply, but nothing was really that mind-blowing. We did have Robin and Mariah Carey are both Aries suns with Mercury in Pisces. Giselle and Beyonce are both Virgo suns. And I think we can all agree they both give extreme Virgo energy. But what I thought was kind of funny about this whole thing was Mia was putting this together. I don't know who the creative director was, but Mia was cast in the role of Pam Grier. Now, if you know Pam Grier, you would know that Mia looks absolutely nothing like her, the way that she was styled. If you don't know who Pam Grier is, Google her. She's iconic. She was Jackie Brown. She was Foxy Brown. She was in Jawbreaker kind of more recently, although she's been in things way more recently than that. I think she was just in Pet Sematary last year. She's been in so many movies. She's iconic. She is iconic. And I think Mia was in like a yellow dress and in the poster for Foxy Brown, she was wearing a yellow dress, but like the dresses didn't look similar. The hair didn't look similar. When I think of Pam Grier, I think of like curly hair, either in an afro or like a long curly style. Anyway, it was just Mia. Who said that? Maybe it was Giselle. It seems like something Giselle would say, where it was like, this is Mia. That's not Pam Grier. Anywho, just a little side note, not astrologically related. But speaking of Mia and astrology. Her and Gordon separated during Venus retrograde that took place in the summer of 2023. It was loosely from July to September. We saw a lot of breakups during this time, but what I think is interesting about this in particular is Mia finally committing to her longtime fuck buddy slash high school sweetheart. We know retrogrades are a time to review, reevaluate, also a time to return to things that you let go of in the past. Sometimes this is a good time for this. Other times it ends up being a mess. But I would say if it's someone you kind of have in the background for 10 years, it does seem like a fitting time to commit to that relationship. It will be interesting to see if this lasts. It's not like her and Mr. Ink got married during the retrograde. So let's see what comes of that relationship moving forward. Also, a side note, even though Gordon gives off slightly creepy vibes, there's just something about him that seems like so teddy bear and like really sweet. Like, I want the best for Gordon. And also he seems to like, okay, now this is what he shows to the camera, because the fact that he cut her off financially at one point and like took all her money away from her, that is obviously not okay, extremely controlling, all the things. But even when we watch the teaser for the reunion, you see Ink FaceTiming Mia and Gordon's like, oh, hey, bud. Like, you know, he just seems like a cool fucking dude. I'm looking forward to the reunion because I like reunions where the husbands show up. Not every city does that. And I feel like Potomac always has the husbands come out. So love when the husbands get into the drama. From the ending of the Potomac season to the beginning of Summer House Martha's Vineyard, the two Summer House shows have completely different formats. For old school Summer House, we have the format of everyone goes home because they basically all live in New York. They go home during the week and work, and then they come back on the weekends. However, Summer House Martha's Vineyard, people are flying in from all over the country and they're in a house for 2 weeks straight. And I think it just shifts the dynamic so much. Like, when you get to leave for the week and go live your life, things are a little less heavy. That's not to say that Summer House hasn't had extreme drama, but already with Martha's Vineyard, like, we're kicking it off and people already seem on edge. I mean, obviously it's from some of the off-season drama and people's kind of feeling a certain type of way about things that have been going on over the past few months, but I think that when you get to separate for the week, you get to come back with kind of a fresh perspective. Sometimes it's like you had the whole week to bitch and moan about what was going on and get kind of deeper into the bullshit and the drama. But other times it's like, okay, I realize that that's not that big of a deal. Let's move forward. So yeah, interested to see how that will play out. I feel like last year I was saying that I wanted the original Summer House to be this way, where they were stuck in a house together. Now I feel like everything has been so heavy. I just want some lightness. I just want some levity. Okay, but let's get into the episode. So it will be interesting to see how Jasmine gets along with everyone without Silas there. He is over in Europe. He got deployed. I feel like she was, as she keeps saying, she's the reason that all these people have come together. She's kind of the linchpin of people being introduced to each other and coming on this show. And yet last year she was ostracized in a way, or like, is that even the right word? She was kind of like pushed to the side by everyone because of this new wife role they were seeing her in and them not feeling that she was being either authentic in her representation as wife or, you know, whatever. They all had their issues with the way that Jasmine was showing up. I don't understand why everyone hates Alex. I feel like I'm missing something here. I get what Summer is bitter about. Summer is a Leo. She's got a Virgo moon, and it seems like this for her is a case of a bruised ego of Leo and a Virgo's kind of fear of not being perfect, not being chosen, not being good enough for him to commit to. Like, it seems like that energy is shining through. Meanwhile, Alex is an Aries and he's got an Aquarius moon. I feel like his Aquarius moon really shines through. Three out of the four men in this cast have Aquarius energy. Preston is the only man to not have a sun, moon, or rising placement in Aquarius. So that's a fun little fact right there. I like the energy that Alex gives off. And with that Aquarius moon, you can totally, well, it's like, you know, he doesn't drink. He's a vegan. He's so different from these people. Is that why they don't like him? Because he's different? And actually, the guys seem to be fine with Alex. It really is just like the females that seem to have an issue with him. Maybe I'm forgetting something from last season. I know that he's like this whole fuckboy energy, and maybe that's what they're not reacting to well. I'm not really sure. I feel like I should have re-binged last seasons before this one started, but oh well. Another thing I thought was cute. So when Nick and Amir are pulling up in their car, they're talked about how they've gotten close. They've got cute synastry just from their sun, moon, rising. Both of them are Gemini risings. Hello, Amir, like getting excited about the playground and Nick telling him that he's got Peter Pan syndrome. Gemini energy in general is like Peter Pan syndrome. We do not want to grow up. They both have air moons. Amir has an Aquarius moon, just like Alex, and Nick has a Gemini moon. And Nick has an Aquarius sun, which goes great with Amir's Aquarius moon. Amir has a Leo sun, so they both have fixed sun energy. So that's a cute little bromance brewing there. And we have the new girl, Noelle. Something about her is kind of giving me young Phaedra Parks vibes. I don't know if it's like her mannerisms, her southernness, but I'm excited to see what she brings. She's a Capricorn sun, Scorpio moon, Cancer rising. Like, ooh, interesting energy. Interesting energy. Cancer rising, Scorpio moon, like that can be, if she gets into drama, those placements can be extreme. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching this season. Honestly, all I remember from last season is all the guys wanting Jordan and Silas and Jasmine getting into fights. That's like basically all I can remember about last season. Okay, so over in the Hamptons summer house, we have West and Sierra. They remind me of this middle school flirtation. It's very cute, but it also seems like it's not going anywhere, which is fine because summer should be fun and flirty. Also, like, this is a bit random. Well, something I noticed, please tell me if you've noticed this as well. Their kissing does not seem compatible. And I don't mean to say that either of them are bad kissers, but sometimes your kissing style just does not align. And I, like, every time they show a shot of them making out, it just looks sloppy. And I don't know. And I don't think it's because they're just inebriated. Now, I'm not sure which, if any, planetary placement corresponds to kissing, but Venus kind of represents your love language or the style in which you love, how you want to be loved, how you give love. Sierra's Venus is in Aquarius, and West's Venus is in Scorpio. Both of these are fixed placement. And actually, you know, like, they're both fixed placement, but I think that I feel like Scorpio and Aquarius could actually be very compatible or very not compatible. And it really just depends on like what the interests of these individuals actually are. Because as I said with Diddy, Scorpio is like a very sexual sign. And Aquarius, I mean, it's more heady, it's more intellectual, it's more logical, but Aquarians are a bit different. They like things a bit out there. So actually, like, someone like this can be very like, they could have very fun sex if they're both into experimenting, trying new things, or just like going for it. I feel like they could have very good sex. Now, when we think of sex, we think of Mars. Sierra's Mars is in Capricorn, West's is in Virgo. So they're actually trining by sign, not by degree. Both of them have Earth Marses. And so I could see them having good sex, maybe not great sex, but good sex. Like, I feel like it could just be very easy between them because they have this shared fixed Venuses. They have this, these Earth Marses. So they have similar energy signatures. I'm sure I called this out when I first looked at their synastry, but they both have Capricorn suns. So yeah. Yeah. West and Sierra. I mean, it's not going anywhere, but that's okay. We can still talk about it. Now, while West and Sierra may not be headed for the altar, the question arises, are Paige and Craig? In this episode, we see Craig talking to Carl. Nope, not Carl. I always do this. Carl and Kyle, their names always in my head. We see Craig talking to Kyle about how, you know, maybe things aren't going to work out between him and Paige. And he's finally kind of come to that. Like, come to terms with that, I would say. Like, he seems very just like, okay, this is just, it's either going to work or it's not. I wonder if he in his head has a timeline for when it's like, if she doesn't commit to me fully, I'm going to move on, because it's clear that Craig's ready for those next stages in life. He's got his house, he wants the family, he wants the kids, he wants all that. When you look at their synastry, Paige's Saturn, boundaries, restrictions, is in Aquarius, right between Craig's Venus, his love, his values, and his sun, his ego, and his identity. We can see that Paige is running the show and basically has the sole say in what goes on in their relationship. While I could see them together, I could also see them being that relationship that gets you ready for the relationship. What makes me think this is, in particular, Craig's Pluto, his transformation, like Pluto represents transformation, is on Paige's sun, and it's training her Mars, action, motivation, in Cancer, family. So her being with Craig could, in theory, make her extremely powerful. That Pluto on her sun, it could add this power to her sun, and it can kind of invigorate that Mars in Cancer. And since it's a trine, it could be this easy flow of energy between all these signs. On the other hand, Craig's Pluto on Paige's sun could feel repressive, and it could make Paige feel like if she commits to him, it's the death of things as she knows them. And I think that's already what we see her kind of fearful of, and her not wanting to fully commit to him, because she's happy with where her life is, how her life's going. And she knows that if she, like, when and if she commits to him, that will be the death of what is her life right now and the beginning of something very different. And so, yeah, I could see this going either way. Speaking of relationships, I totally forgot about buying Beverly Hills. And then last night I remembered that all of the episodes were out, and I only got through the first two, mainly because, I don't know, something about the show, I'm just not into it, but I will push forward. But oh my God, can we just talk about the fact that they opened up the show the way they did? Just shows that Netflix is here to give the people what they want and provide the answers that Real Housewives of Beverly Hills didn't. It honestly feels like a slap in the face to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Okay, yeah, so keep in mind, as I just said, I only watched the first two episodes. I don't love how this is like keeping up with the Umanskis. I thought MJ was going to be on this show. That I was most excited about that. And now maybe I just didn't get to her yet, or maybe she's going to be on next season and not this season. But I need a personality that I'm interested in, because right now there aren't any show that I care about. But what did pique my interest was the fact that Sophia's family all talks about how they're afraid of her. And then even that Ben kid from the office that Alexia used to date, he also says he's afraid of her. When she's in her confessionals, Sophia, that is, she gives me kind of Larsa vibes, but also with an air of Kylie Jenner. She's clearly young. It seems like she's trying to control how she's presenting herself. So Sophia is a Capricorn sun. She has either a Gemini or a Cancer moon. I don't know her time of birth, so I don't know the exact moon placement. I don't know her rising sign. From what I've seen of her, she's giving more Cancer moon vibes than Gemini, but again, I've only seen two episodes, and that Capricorn sun is very much controlling what we see of her. She's being very guarded right now. Her north node is in Leo, so I could see why her sister says she's like this leader and that she may take ownership over the company one day. Although in actuality, I feel like seniority and commitment will come into the play when that time comes for the company to be handed over. But okay, the real question is, why is her family afraid of her? Capricorn suns can be very serious. Her sun is also squaring Jupiter in Aries, which can make someone very assertive. Jupiter in Aries can be a very intense placement. That's also like a no bullshit. Like, they're not going to take any bullshit from anyone, which I thought was cute when Alexia had her like sticking up or kind of like standing as her bodyguard when she was talking with Ben about how Ben was fucking her over with the house that they were sharing, the open house they were sharing, and just how in general he doesn't respect her in the office. Yeah, it's like this bodyguard, like very assertive, very no bullshit, like energy. She also has Mercury at 29 degrees Capricorn. So, like we've talked about this before, as a planet travels through a sign, it grows and matures. So 0 degrees Capricorn, it has nothing to do with low vibe or high vibe energy of a sign. Any degree placement can have a low vibe or a high vibe energy of a sign. But think about a baby versus an adolescent versus an adult. So each sign has these kind of this evolution of how that energy matures within the sign. So she does. She has like this very mature, very kind of like old soul air about her. She also has Saturn in Taurus. This could be a very stubborn placement. They can be very needy in how things are and like very controlling that fixed sign energy, very controlling about how things are. She's got Venus in Sagittarius. She's going to be super fucking opinionated. So, I mean, I don't know her and I haven't really even seen that much of her, but I could see her being really strong-willed and opinionated, assertive, possibly moody. She's got Mars in Pisces squaring Pluto conjunct Chiron in Sagittarius. And also if that moon is in Cancer, that could add to it. But even a Gemini moon, it's like you never know how they're going to show up. But again, that's why I think it's more Cancer. It's like a more consistent energy. First, I thought everyone was joking when they said that they were afraid of her, but then they kept saying it and I was like, oh, like this is either actually a thing or it's actually a thing they're heavily trying to push on this show for one reason or another. Fun fact, Sophia went to my alma mater. She graduated from George Washington University, and so did I. But yeah, I will continue to watch Buying Beverly Hills. It's kind of wild that for the next few weeks, we're not going to have any Housewives. The next Housewives to air, I'm pretty sure, is New Jersey, which will be beginning of May. That's still over a month away. Then we have Dubai is coming out, I think, in June. I don't know. I mean, thank God for summer houses. But yeah, let's just kind of play around in the next few weeks. I haven't watched the past few seasons, but I know that Top Chef just started airing again. Maybe next week we'll get into some of the charts of the Top Chef judges. Also, I have some fun bonus episodes in the works. So just know the next few months, I don't know. We'll play around. We'll see what happens. We'll see what comes out news-wise. But as always, make sure you're following along on Instagram at the Cosmic Clubhouse. Shoot me a DM over there or answer in the Wednesday question box that comes up what you want to hear on next week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show wherever you're listening to this podcast, and share with a friend because sharing is caring. But for now, continue to protect your peace. Continue to stay out of the mess during this eclipse season. And I will see you guys all back here next week. Bye.